Welcome to this sample reading of Because I Said So, written and read by Karen Callmaker. Chapter 7. The evening was off to a great start. Kisa slammed the car door, cursing LA and everyone like her out looking for parking near UCLA on a Friday night. She was going to be late, and she had 4 blocks to cover, and in heels. She walked as fast as she could, wishing with every step for her black boots. She'd picked heels because they made her feel substantial. At the end of the first block, she realized she hadn't taken her notebook out of her bag, and it weighed more with every step. She stabbed at the pedestrian signal to cross Wilshire and glared at the unbroken stream of cars. So much for finding LA nightlight soothing. The entire week had turned into a complete shit show, she thought bitterly. A fitting that resulted in a customer rejecting her custom-made dress had capped a week that had included a broken bobbin assembly on one of her sewing machines. What had she been thinking? She had drained her cash cushions to nearly zero for the initial deposits on the workspace, and sure enough, business had gone downhill from there. Hadn't she learned that's how life worked? A customer who decided not to pay for her final outfit meant she had to use a credit card to pay for the machine repair. Picking up the keys to her new workshop earlier in the day had been terrifying, instead of exhilarating. The streets near UCLA were always crowded with cars and people. Being small, even in heels, meant dodging backpacks and shoulders, which slowed her down even more. The coffee shop was right on the edge of the sprawling campus's medical center, and its heritage as a boulevard diner was obvious in the chrome-framed marquee proclaiming, "World's Best Pie." Well, she could hope, couldn't she? She paused in the foyer to take a deep breath. Her gaze was caught by the luscious caramel drizzled over chocolate blackout cake in the display case. No matter how this conversation went, she was having a slice of that, and she was going to eat it all. Josie could not get married. They could wait a year, why not? If the boy's guardian was the least bit sensible, they might be able to get the young people to agree to slow down. She stepped into the dining area and saw Josie before Josie saw her. Across from Josie was a very attractive young man. He seemed to be a half a foot taller than Josie, still not all that tall for the male of the species, but the compact triangular set of his shoulders, over which stretched a blue UCLA engineering t-shirt, was the result of weights or swimming or both. His smooth, unbursed skin was a pleasing result of genetics and LA sunshine. The infatuation made sense now. Even she would turn her head to admire him. Josie was gazing at him in nothing short of adoration. For a moment, she could see Josie as a stranger would. Her jaw-length hair was a glossy black that hinted at indigo in certain lights, and it was a perfect foil for her sienna skin. The outside corners of her eyes curved slightly upward when she smiled the way she was doing now, a charming trait their father had had, but only Josie had inherited. Kisa had gotten their mother's blue eyes instead. The wide-mouthed smile that Kisa rarely saw was lively and genuine. At that moment, her boyfriend had his fingers in his ears, and they were both laughing. They would, Kisa realized, make beautiful babies. Marriage. Babies. Oh, her chest ached at the very idea. She could only make out the outline of the woman sitting on the other side of Josie's boyfriend. That must be the guardian, Kisa thought. The window reflected a blur of shoulder-length dark blonde hair, and the arm on the table was ivory in the artificial light. They were all so relaxed, as if this was an ordinary family event. The boyfriend leaned back in his chair, and Kisa could suddenly see the other woman's profile, a long nose and wide smile as she teased the young man about something. Her laugh was slightly husky and seemed to come to her easily. Josie saw her then, and the animation drained from her face. She rose to awkwardly hug Kisa, saying, "You're late." This can't be happening, Kisa thought. She let go of Josie when she realized Josie might feel her shaking. Traffic and parking. I thought I allowed enough time. The young man had risen as well and extended his hand. "You must be Kisa. I'm Paz." His grip was firm. Confident. Not a boy. A man. This can't be happening. He gestured at the woman seated next to him. She began to rise, and Kisa managed to say, "Don't get up on my account." Words failed her at that point. After a moment, the other woman extended her hand across the table. "Shannon." The brush of Shannon's fingers against her palm sent an electrical charge through Keese's body, so searing that her skin seemed on fire while her brain stopped working entirely. With the tiny amount of air she could pull into her lungs, Keese responded with her name. She dove for the empty chair next to Josie, which put her across from Shannon. She jerked back as she trod on what was probably Shannon's foot under the table. Her heavy purse bumped against the edge of the table hard enough to rattle the water glasses. Oh my gosh, let me stash this thing. At least that's what Keese thought, she said. She felt as if she'd slipped into another dimension where all she could hear was babble. Josie shot her a, "What is wrong with you?" glance. A frazzled server with a coffee-stained apron promptly arrived. "Ready to order?" She didn't say finally, but Keese heard it plainly. Desperate for a moment that felt normal, Keese said, "There's a chocolate cake in the window that has caramel on it. I want that." "The whole cake?" Keese nearly said yes. Because I Said So is available from Bella Books and all other fine retailers as of July 2019. Visit my website, callmaker.com, for all the details about the story, and check out the freebies while you're there. Thanks for listening.